Our gospel lesson comes this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 1, verses 18 through 25. Matthew tells us, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother, Mary, was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' which means 'God with us.' When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him, and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son. And he gave him the name Jesus." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Oh Lord God, we are so grateful for your presence, Lord, in the reading and the hearing of your word. For your presence, Lord, as songs of praise were offered to you. And that you heard our prayers. And now, Lord, as your word is preached, we ask again for your presence, that you would speak to our hearts, and that by the power of your Spirit, we would respond in ways that bring you glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our two scriptures this morning, the passage from Isaiah that Sandy read as part of lighting of the Advent candle, and the passage that I just read to you from Matthew, they tell us of two very different individuals. In chapter 7 of Isaiah, we learn of a man whose name is Ahaz. I want you to know that Ahaz is the king, and it's about 730 BC, back in time, when he's the king of Judah. And where he finds himself is that the kingdoms to his north, there's a kingdom of Aram and the kingdom of what's known as Israel. You see, they're at odds with Judah. And Ahaz is worried. In fact, the Bible tells us that the hearts of Ahaz and the people are shaken. They're afraid for their own safety. Now, God sends word to Ahaz. And he says, "Ahaz, I want you to trust me." He assures him that those two northern kingdoms will never overtake Judah. I'm going to use the pulpit mic, okay? And he encourages Ahaz that they're not going to be overtaken, okay? In fact, he says to Ahaz, "If you stand firm in your faith, Ahaz, you'll be okay." He said, "If you don't stand firm in your faith, you won't stand at all." And so in verse 10 of chapter 7 in Isaiah, God says to Ahaz, he says, "Ahaz, ask me for a sign. Ask me for a sign." And I'm reminded, friends, that God always keeps his promises, and God also sends us signs. He sends us signs to reassure us and to give us hope. But Isaiah tells us that Ahaz says to God in his reply, he said, I will not ask you for a sign, God. I won't put you to the test." I have to tell you, friends, when God invites you to ask him for a sign, you're not putting him to the test. You see, the backstory is it turns out that Ahaz had already sent all the silver and all the gold from the temple and the palace to the king of Assyria. That was even further north, a great kingdom of Assyria, to help bail out Ahaz. You see, Ahaz had already figured this out on his own, and he doesn't want God's help. and he doesn't want a sign from God for that help. And so I say to myself, what's going on with Ahaz? Not only does he think he's got it figured out on his own, he doesn't want to be obligated to God. He doesn't want God's help. Now, in case you're wondering, when we talk often of the kings in the Old Testament about good kings and bad kings, I want you to know right up front that Ahaz is not considered a good king. But the prophet Isaiah shares with Ahaz the sign that God told him anyway. Isaiah says, a virgin will conceive a child. Now, I want you to know right now the context of this when this was given to Ahaz is the virgin is a young woman, and she's going to conceive a child in the way that children are normally conceived. The sign is they will call this child Emmanuel, and by the time that child grows up, those two kingdoms that threatened you, Ahaz, will no longer be a threat. Take that as a sign, a simple sign that God will keep his word to you. You see, that same sign that Isaiah gave to Ahaz also pointed some 700 years later to a time when God promised that he would send himself. He would send himself in human form to save us and to inaugurate his kingdom on earth. Only this time, the virgin would conceive the child by the Holy Spirit, the way that no other child was conceived. And that leads us to our second individual today, Joseph. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus that we read in Matthew's gospel. Now you see, Joseph and Mary are betrothed. We would say they were engaged. And in their time, that meant a lot different things than it does today in our culture. You see, except for living together, they were as good as married by being engaged under Jewish tradition. And if things didn't work out during the engagement, you didn't just call off the engagement in their time. If you tried to end it, it had to be ended with what was called a divorce. Okay? And so Joseph finds himself in what was normally that first year of engagement, that traditional year where the two of them, the man and the woman, were to live apart. And suddenly Joseph finds out, it tells us in Matthew, we don't know by whom or how, but he finds out that Mary is pregnant. And it says that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And I'm not sure, to tell you the truth, when I read that, that he finds out that Mary is pregnant by the Holy Spirit, or that he just finds out that Mary is pregnant, and that the writer, Matthew, is letting us know, again, this is by the Holy Spirit. You see, the only ones who know, at least from Scripture, how Mary conceived would be Mary herself when the angel Gabriel spoke to her, or her cousin Elizabeth when she visited Elizabeth. And so my guess from Scripture is Joseph is believing that the child is conceived in the normal way that children are conceived. For the Holy Spirit, you know, Joseph might think to himself, just doesn't show up, certainly not in my life in this way. And I have to tell you, when you look at Joseph's response, I'm really taken aback. I'm really surprised. I guess I'm not surprised that he seeks to divorce Mary to end the engagement. But what really, because I will tell you, the law would have said that they couldn't be married under those conditions. But what really surprises me is that Joseph seeks to divorce her quietly and to avoid public disgrace. Now, I don't know about you, but when I've been wronged in life and not treated fairly, let alone betrayed, there's a part of me that feels like the whole world should know about it. Okay? At least the people I come into contact every day. This summer, we had some water damage at our house, and I will tell you that there was a certain contractor that seemed to cause more problems than were fixed. And some of you who got to know that got to hear my almost daily ranting about that. And somehow, as I'm reading this scripture and preparing for this message, I was reminded of that, and I was reminded of Joseph's example. And it caused me to sit up and take notice. It caused me to sit up and take notice and ask the question, why? Why is it I need to seemingly share with the whole world every time I've been wronged? And why did Joseph respond so kindly? My best answer is that Joseph was a man of compassion. You see, even though he may have thought he had been betrayed, he still wanted what was best for Mary. Because if he went public, by the way, with divorce, she would have been forever branded in their culture as an adulterer and could have even been stoned to death for it. So he put Mary above his own reputation. Now, the theme today in the fourth Sunday of Advent is love. And we could preach a long time and talk a long time about love, but I'll just give you a couple thoughts. That love, friends, is about how we give ourselves to others. Love carries a sense of mercy. It's displayed in how we sacrifice ourselves, our agendas, and our reputation for the sake of others. And I would tell you in my own words, in the most simplest of terms, love is wanting the best for someone. Love is wanting God's best for someone. Think about that for a second. Think about if we substitute wanting the best for someone for the word love in some of our most familiar scriptures. Think of John 3:16, for God so wanted what was best for us that he sent his one and only begotten Son, that whomever would believe in him would not perish but have eternal life. Think about Jesus telling us, but I tell you, want the best for your enemies and pray for them who persecute you. Think about Jesus telling us, want what is best for your neighbor as you want what is best for yourself. And Paul telling us in Ephesians, husbands, want what is best for your wives. Just as Christ wants what is best for the church he gave himself up for. And so Joseph, though he has seemingly been betrayed, he still wants what's best for Mary. And I would say that's love. But Joseph soon finds out that sometimes things aren't what they seem. God sends him a sign, a powerful sign. He sends an angel of the Lord in a dream. And I have to tell you, friends, when an angel of the Lord shows up in the scriptures, everyone stops and takes notice. The angel tells him, he says, Joseph, the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. I'll amplify that a little bit. She didn't do anything wrong, Joseph. She didn't do anything wrong. The law was not broken. Joseph, the child will be a son, and you are to name him Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. That's what Jesus, the name, meant, that he would save their people. And I'll tell you, friends, that's a common name. Jesus was a common name in Joseph and Mary's time, but as we know, this will be no common child. And for Joseph, saying that some things aren't always what they seem, I think, is an understatement of understatements. You see, he just got called. He just got called along with Mary to be part of a miracle. And this will be no small task to raise a Savior, to raise the Son of God as his own child. It's not a task that he can do in his own strength, and he's going to need God's help. He's going to need to trust God. He's going to need to stand firm in his faith. Now, sometimes I think that's sort of the way life is, isn't it, friends? Life is not a small task, is it? It's not a task that we can often do in our own strength. You see, we need God's help. And we need to trust God and stand firm in our faith. But having said that, I would also tell you that if I'm honest with you, I often find myself living somewhere between Ahaz and Joseph, between trusting God and handling it on my own. between wanting what's best for others or being focused on how fairly I'm being treated, between giving someone the benefit of the doubt or jumping to the conclusion that somebody just screwed up like they always do. And sometimes I will tell you, it's not even the big stuff in life, it's the little stuff in life. On Thursday, I went into my office, and on my desk, somebody had put some mail on my desk. So I picked it up. I said, oh, somebody put some mail on my desk. That was nice. I looked at it. It said, Riverside United Methodist Church, attention, David Cady. I stopped right there. I stopped right there, and I bellowed, who put this on my desk? Okay? I didn't, it was kind of, you know, one of those ready, fire, aim things. You ever do that? Ready, fire, oh, and then aim. I didn't bother to look in the lower left-hand corner. Let's see, 2019 year-end reports from the West Ohio Conference of the United Methodist Church. You see, I help fill these out every year. Someone did me a favor by putting this on my desk as I bellowed, who put this on my desk? It wasn't that somebody screwed up. It was a kindness. And so things aren't always what they seem. And the person I bellowed to was Pastor David, and it turned out Pastor David had put this on my desk. He just said, you're welcome. I have to tell you, I was again reminded in that little episode, I was again reminded that I find myself somewhere between Ahaz and Joseph on a daily basis, and I was again reminded of what I already knew. Because it was the scriptures, friends, that had convicted me. The scriptures, it reminded me, that have a way of showing us who we are right now and who we can be with God's help. Poor old Ahaz. Poor old Ahaz, 700 years before Joseph, he didn't want to listen to what God had to say. He wanted to handle it on his own while Joseph stood firm in his faith, in compassion, and in love. You see, Ahaz wanted what was best for Ahaz, and Joseph wanted what was best for Mary and for God's people. About 2 weeks ago, I was at a small gathering, and Sharon Moore told us a story that I'd never heard before, but I really enjoyed it. I'm going to share it with you. I've renamed the story From Ahaz to Joseph. It goes like this. There was a farmer who never saw the sense of God coming to earth, being born a man. It made no sense to him, and he would have no part of it. His wife and children went to church every Sunday while he stayed home. I don't need any of that, he told them. I can handle life on my own. You can go if you want to. One Sunday, as his family went to worship, a terrible winter storm came up, biting cold, howling winds and snow, and a small flock of geese were caught in the storm and floundered in his yard. He felt compassion for the creatures, as he often liked animals more than he liked other people, and so he opened his barn door so the birds would find protection from the storm. But the birds didn't notice, and they continued to flounder in the storm. The man yelled to the birds. He waved his arms. He beckoned them to come into the barn. But the birds didn't notice him, and they continued to flounder. He tried to make a path of breadcrumbs or something, anything that would they would follow into the barn, but the wind blew them away. Finally, it occurred to him. He went into his barn and he took out one of his own geese, and he took it out into the middle of the storm and he set it loose in front of the struggling geese. His goose flew directly toward the barn, and the others took notice, and they followed it in to the warmth and safety of the barn. He went back into the warmth and safety of his farmhouse, and he thought about what had just happened. The geese wouldn't listen to him, but they would follow one of their own kind. And so suddenly he had realized that he had not listened to God, and but that God had sent his own son
to be like us, that we would follow him to safety, that he would save us. And so the farmer found himself trusting God as Joseph did. You see, in the story, the geese were a sign, and finally the man was ready to see. There's a song I enjoy. It's from an artist. His name is Matt Mayer. The song is called Love Comes Down. And the refrain from that song, I think, captures the theme of love in this Advent season. Here's how it goes. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it marvelous? The God of the universe, he became one of us. We cry out, and then love comes down again. Faith is found in him. Alleluia. Isn't it beautiful? Isn't it marvelous? The God of the universe, he became one of us. We cry out, and then love comes down again. Faith is found in him. Alleluia. Let's pray. O Lord, forgive us when we lean more towards Ahaz than Joseph, when we think more on ourselves, Lord, than others. Open our hearts to you and to all the signs around us. We pray that by your Spirit, you would help us to be quick to see and to listen. Help us to show compassion, to want the best for others, as you want the best for us. Amen. Friends, our closing hymn is number 240. Hark, the herald angels sing. I invite you to stand as you are able and sing.
for God's loving whisper. The words will give you healing and hope. Go in peace, and may God's peace always be with you.